So when I was looking to transfer, it was a lot of one-on-one, and it didn't feel like I got lost in a huge university because I knew that if I came here, there was going to be someone I could talk to about every aspect of the courses I needed to take, but also too, I loved the smaller classroom sizes, and I liked how interactive and immersive all of the learning was going to be. It wasn't just going to be me sitting in a room with a couple hundred people and a professor who didn't know my name.
To find out more about transferring to William Peace University, visit peace.edu.
One constant feeling reigns over the 130-plus year history of NC State Wolfpack football. Hope. And when there's hope, well, Pack fans can always relate. Pack family, time for a true look at your team. Expert analysis, special guests, and a Carter Finley-sized bag full of X's and O's. Let's get hooked up for Pack Therapy. Here are your hosts, Tim Donnelly and Wolfpack great Mike Lennon.
Pack Therapy, another edition of our fourth Pack Therapy since the last time the Pack actually played on the field. So I'm excited. Our next one will actually have football to talk about. I'm Tim Donnelly. As you just heard in the intro, Wolfpack legend Mike Lennon joining me as always as the co-host. And follow us, subscribe everywhere podcasts can be found. Tell your friends about it. Pack Therapy Podcast for all state football. If you're just interested in state football, again, it's YouTube, 99.9 The Fan, and it's podcast everywhere you can find them. Mike, let's talk about that. The thing that I kind of led with, we've had four podcasts since the last time they played. That means players, it must feel like a decade, right? Going into a game like Clemson, which is obviously bigger in name than maybe like actual bite that it's been in the past. What's it like for a state team coming out of a bye that they needed a break, but now they've had a really long one?
It does feel like it's been a while since we've watched the Wolfpack play. And, you know, you're kind of itching to get back on the field. You've gotten away from it. You've been able to relax, recover from injuries, and kind of rejuvenate for the latter part of the season. But at this point, you know, you're coming off a bad loss at Duke. You want to get back out on that field and get that bad taste out of your mouth. So I'm sure these guys are excited to go to practice, excited for Saturday to come with Clemson coming in town. I mean, no matter what their record are, when Clemson's on your schedule, that game's kind of circled, and that's part of the reason you come to a school like NC State is to play these games against a team like Clemson.
The other aspect of it is the MJ Morris aspect of it, which was such a big deal when the move was made from Brennan Armstrong to MJ Morris, but the way I describe it, like big changes made not on a bye week, is it's kind of like you're trying to fix the engine while driving 80 miles an hour down the highway, right? You don't have time to really make many adjustments. It's a little bit dangerous. Do you expect the offense to look, you know, a greater difference than you know, we maybe saw with the two games with MJ Morris because he was kind of just fitting into Brennan Armstrong's spot?
No. I think the offense for the most part is going to look the same. Mm. I imagine that they're going to sprinkle in some more plays, and I think it's going to be more about KC Concepcion than maybe MJ Morris. Now, I'm sure there was some dialogue during that bye week to figure out what MJ is most comfortable running, but you can't reinvent the wheel in 1 week. I mean, the offense is the offense at this point. It's just about how are we going to get, really to me, it's about how are we going to get KC the ball? And then what I talked about on the podcast last week was maybe you go around and look around college football, look around the NFL, and try to find a few plays that are working and put those into the offense. But for the most part, the offense is going to look the same.
The interesting part about that is if you go back preseason, right, and a bye week is a good time for reflection and looking at the bigger picture and all those sort of things. You know, we were here talking about Jordan Houston and Brennan Armstrong was, and actually, you know, even KC Concepcion was an interesting prospect.
Yeah, he was a name. I've heard good things about him, yeah. But we weren't expecting him to be the vital role of this offense.
It was the Lassanes and a few others that we expected to be the wide receivers. even if the offense is the same, there's got to be an adjustment period for, all right, Michael Allen, you're now the starting back. All right, MJ Morris, you're now the starting quarterback. All right, Casey Concepcion, you're now the number one wide receiver, which going back to week one, none of those three were entrenched in those positions at all. So I guess my question is, if the offense is the same as far as, like, you know, you're not going to put in a new chapter of the playbook, maybe a couple pages, will it look different just by the nature of these guys will do it differently?
It could. And
cuz like you and I both know, we both play quarterbacks, where like you might throw the post more often. You might be
right.
More comfortable throwing the you know, the dig over the linebacker's head than I am. Or, you know, there are little like customizations that you make on the fly.
Right. I feel like you see that in the NFL. And I mean, the first thing that comes to mind this week was Justin Fields, and then they put in that Tyson.
The Shepherd University.
Is, you know, the offense looked a little bit different because maybe it's the style of play, where I feel like MJ and Brennan, they're definitely different, but they're similar. I mean,
it's not exactly one runs a 4-3 and one is
right,
the quarterback from Shepherd.
Right. I think that Duke game, it just felt like more of the same of Brennan. So to me, I feel like it's not going to look that much different because it's a quarterback that throws it well. I do feel like MJ gets the ball out a little bit quicker than Brennan. He can make plays with his feet, maybe not quite as well as Brennan. But for me, they're similar enough that it's not going to be drastic to the, you know, common fans' eyes of how this offense is going to look.
And the other thing that happens a lot on bye weeks, and we've touched on it through the podcast, we've touched on it definitely with James Henderson, Inside Pack Sports. By the way, if you haven't checked out our archives, most recently we had AJ Cole, Hunter Renfro, teammates for the Vegas Raiders, almost said Oakland Raiders, for the Vegas Raiders, who obviously AJ went to NC State and Renfro to Clemson. So we had them on. We had a conversation. Prior to that, we had James Henderson, Inside Pack Sports. You can check all those out in the archives wherever you listen to your podcasts. But it's, you know, bye weeks, idle minds are kind of dangerous minds, meaning all of a sudden, like, coaches' job securities get discussed a lot more because there's not, like, a defense to break down this weekend. And Dave Doran, you know, I don't think it's, like, all the hottest seat in the world, but it was discussed a lot more. Do players hear any of that kind of stuff?
I think you hear the rumblings. I mean, I'm sure with how active things are nowadays with Twitter and social media.
I don't search myself, as I tell everybody publicly, but also I hear everything.
It's hard to avoid it. Now, I don't think there's enough chatter around Raleigh for that to really creep in people's minds. Probably the best thing to happen for all that was over the weekend is seeing Carolina and Duke lose. So even though it was a bye week for NC State fans, it almost felt like a win. So I think players hear that noise. I don't think it's loud enough now that that's impactful. And I think Dave's been around here long enough that that's not
Exactly. It's not there yet, but we had callers calling into my afternoon show on 99.9 The Fan who, you know, their way to solve, like, you, because part of what you do when you're discussing the team is I try to be a solutions person, not just a problems person. I don't just want to say, like, the offense isn't working. I want to say, hey, if they, you know, do this in the run game, it can get better. And we had a couple callers calling, and basically their solution was it's time to move on. Yeah. And I was surprised by it, but then, you know, if you search message boards, which is a dangerous place, you know, that's brought up occasionally, especially on buys, because, you know, there's not a team right there to talk about. You brought up something that really only someone that played for State can touch on. The like, kind of a win because Duke and Carolina lost. We're going to talk about a lot this week, or a lot leading up to this weekend, I should say. Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are playing each other. And for better or worse, they're going to be linked forever. And it's going to, you know, if Bryce Young plays mediocre, but C.J. Stroud plays terrible, you know, Bryce Young, maybe we should be more patient with him, and vice versa. Does it kind of make struggles that the Duke game or the tough loss to Louisville a little bit better when you watch Carolina get smashed in the rankings, at least by a loss to Virginia?
It shouldn't, but it does, especially exactly. For the fans. I don't know if the players actually, you know, as a player, I don't think that does. But for the fans, I know for a fact, because I've talked to many that are like, did you see Carolina? How great was that? And I just think that's the fun part of kind of growing up and living in the Triangle, is that's rooted deep into these State fans. So I think that's probably more for the fans than the players. Mm. I mean, the players' goals are, to get to that ACC championship and all that. So I don't think.
Okay. Well, you bring that up. The goal is still to get to the ACC championship. With the loss to UNC and you know, Duke loses another.
It's like mathematically.
Exactly.
It's like, I remember.
I didn't even know how to
word
it. I
want to say my rookie year in Tampa, we started the year off, I think, 0-8. And mathematically, we were still in the hunt to win the NFC South until like week 14. And so that was always like the coaching point was, you know, we get in these meetings, is like, you know, tough loss, all that. Hey, we still got a chance.
There was the Hard Knocks with the Cardinals was that way, where every week Cliff Kingsbury was up there going like, it was almost like he was going, I don't know how, but we could still pull this off.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know. It's a sliver of hope at this point, but it's not a lie. So it's a talking point for Doran to the team is, you know, we can still get there. And as probably, I'd imagine there's probably about 12 other teams that are mathematically still alive.
But, you know, you still have Carolina on your schedule. Like there's certain things that kind of add up and go, if you figure, like if it clicks, if there's an aha moment where really the offense starts putting it together, you know, if you have one of those, MJ Morris aged 6 years in the bye week, there's an element of it. It is still alive. And we're both big fans of Dumb and Dumber. Is it Lloyd Christmas saying, so you're telling me there's a chance, or is there actually a chance? And how do you kind of tackle that as an expectation?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of a pipe dream. But it's also real, and it's, you know, looking at who's in front of them, Louisville's second in the ACC right now.
They don't scare me a ton.
Carolina, Duke, I mean, Virginia Tech is, you know, like.
Virginia Tech is up there, and they don't scare me a ton.
Right, so it actually is realistic.
That's my point. Like, you look at it, if there is something that needs to happen within NC State, right? Like, focus on you, but. It's really not completely and totally outlandish when you look at the rest of the schedule.
Right. So
it's just a big if.
And I think that's what the bye week does. It kind of gives you that fresh start in a sense. And you can honestly stand in front of the entire team and tell them, hey, guys, we can make it to the ACC championship still. Whether he firmly believes it or not is one thing. But yes,
sell it. You got to sell
it. Be a good salesman and sell it to the team. And you never know what happens. I think it is that one game at a time mindset. It's cliche, but you take care of business one week at a time. And you may wake up at the end of November and see yourself, you know, getting ready to play in Charlotte. So we'll see.
All right. Speaking of one game at a time, the one game is Clemson, which is a program in a very interesting place. So we're going to take a quick break here. But when we come back, we're diving into the Clemson side of things, the opponent for NC State. That's coming up next right here, Pack Therapy Pod.
I chose William Peace because of the personalized education it offers, which allows students to truly know their professors. It's really possible to make genuine connections with your professors and learn intentionally here and dive deep into what you're passionate about.
A 12-to-1 student to faculty ratio is just one of the many reasons students choose William Peace University. Extra attention starts day one for career planning with their Career Services Center. Find out all they have to offer at peace.edu.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new Go Cary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the Go Cary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the Go Cary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. Go Cary, where getting there is just a tap away.
Welcome back in Pack Therapy Podcast. Listen everywhere podcasts can be found. Tell your friends about it. Subscribe, comment, all those sorts of things. Clemson this week. It's a weird Clemson week for me because I actually think, let me get your theory on this. And I said this on the afternoon show earlier this week. I think it's kind of a perfect game for them to turn the season, for State to turn the season, because if you beat Clemson, it's still beating Clemson, but it's not quite as difficult as it's been the last like 10 years to beat Clemson, right? I'm trying to think of the best example of it. Maybe this is a good example. Maybe it's not. App State beating Texas A&M last year. When it happened, they were ranked sixth in the country, and it was this massive win. Then Texas A&M ended up not being that good, and it's like, well, good thing you got the boost from it, but it wasn't as difficult as we thought it was at the time. Beating Clemson, you could get the boost, but you'd also have to recognize if you beat them, they're 4-4, right? You're now five. You just beat a 500 team, which isn't quite as impressive as it sounds when you say you beat Clemson.
Yeah, it's not quite the same way Duke was feeling when they beat Clemson exactly. Week one. But at the same time, it's still Clemson. And they've been kind of the king of the ACC for the past decade plus. So if you can beat them, it's going to feel good, and it could propel them in this second half of the season to go on a run. So this it's a winnable game. Honestly, I was surprised to see the spread or the line is 10.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be a little bit closer just because Clemson is 4-3 coming off of a loss. But 10 points in Carter-Finley Stadium, it's a winnable game for this NC State team.
Are you surprised they CW'd it?
I am. Yeah. I did not think Clemson would be put on that game. I mean, you look around the conference, and I would have thought it could have been an ACC network game at least, but I don't know. CW is not that bad. I think they get a bad reputation just because of
You go to cut straight from it, and yeah. you miss the end of the games, yeah. And your lead in is Whose Line Is It Anyway right. Reruns. Like, yeah, I get it.
But the production isn't bad. But I will say, I to go from College Game Day in Clemson last year for the State Clemson game to CW, that's a bit of a punch in the gut. And honestly, I think it's more of a punch in the gut to Clemson than it is to NC State.
Take that, Clemson. Arrow the series is your follow up. It's such a funny thing. But looking at Clemson, they're like I said before we took our little break. They're in a really interesting spot in that I don't want to say the league is passing them by because that's crazy, but there is a world where you look at them and you say they went from Taj Boyd to Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence, and that makes a lot of the things you do look smart, right? And DJ Uiagalelei is actually playing really well at Oregon State. I don't know if Clemson fans allow themselves to stay up and watch those games, but maybe it is just like, oh, you don't need – it's not that DJ wasn't good. It's not that Cade isn't good, Cade Klubnik. It's that they're not otherworldly and making up for some other things they have going on. Do you see Clemson as the power that they were, I guess is the way I'm asking?
No, I don't. And I think that's partly because of the quarterback position. Although Cade Klubnik, to me, has a lot of upside. His ceiling is high. It's more about the guys around him. I mean, you go back to Taj Boyd, and that's when I was playing. They had Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins, Martavis Bryant. I mean, the list goes on and on. And Deshaun had Hunter Renfro, yep. And
was there T. Mike Higgins. Williams there?
I mean,
yeah.
Mike Williams. I mean, they had it was arguably wide receiver U at the time. I think now at this point, Ohio State and probably Alabama have taken over that. But he had guys around him, and when I watch Clemson, I don't see guys that are going to be first rounders.
It does. It does feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong. When Justin Ross broke out as a freshman, it felt like, oh, he's the next. Then he got hurt, and kind of the rest of his career was a wash. And from that point on, it was like, oh no, he was supposed to carry the torch to the next guy. The right. torch just went out.
And even Will Shipley, I think he's a great college player, and I know NC State fans wishes we got him, but he's not a
that's part
he's
of
a very good player, but he's not a complete game changer like some of the guys.
He's
that
not
Clemson
ETN. I think actually he's missing DJ a lot. I think having the 6'5", 240 battering ram threatening to keep the ball was something that really helped him, and he's looked good, don't get me wrong. He still puts up stats, but he hasn't looked as good since Klubnik took over. The other thing that I find interesting about Clemson is the transfer portal. And they just don't, which is super not, I was at ACC tip off for basketball, and We talked to five coaches. We talked to Keats from NC State. We talked to Shire. We talked to Hubert Davis. We talked to Jeff Capel. We talked to Steve Forbes from Wake Forest. And I could have started all five conversations with, let's talk about the impact of the transfers, right? Let's talk about the impact of the transfer portal. And football is not totally different. If you look at the top teams in the country, a bunch of them have a bunch of key transfers. You look at Clemson, who at one point in time was hobnobbing with the best in the country for a decade. They have none. They have zero transfers on their two deep. I mean, if you just look at you know, NC State, they felt like they had a quarterback problem. They went and filled it with Brendan Armstrong. Seems like everybody is doing it except them. Does that make them vulnerable? Like, should NC State be chopping their salivating a little bit, going like, oh, these guys think they can do it with high schoolers?
I think the ACC as a whole should be. I think Florida State was salivating, and they're doing the exact opposite, and they're paying dividends.
They have half of their two deep, half of their first and second string.
Right, so I think they saw that as a huge opportunity to be away. Okay, Florida State, we were good with Jimbo, but we've kind of fallen off. How are we going to take over Clemson? Okay, Dabo doesn't want to go in the transfer portal. Well, we're going to go as hard as we can in the transfer portal because we're Florida State and our, you know, logo is nationally known, and people want to come to Florida State. I will say, for Dabo's standpoint, is I think he has to adapt, but it's also a little bit, I respect him that he wants to run his program a certain way, the whole family aspect. And I've played with a bunch of guys that went to Clemson, including Hunter, and they all talk about Dabo like he's almost like a father figure to them. And it's bigger than just wins and losses for him. And I feel like it's starting to, you know, become that. He's sacrificing wins and losses to
not bring in a transfer over somebody
he
who he's had on campus for 2 years.
Yeah. So it's respectable, but I still feel like he could find a couple guys a year that fit the culture of their program. And it's not going to, you know, have an impact on this whole family atmosphere that goes beyond those 4 or 5 years that they're at Clemson that goes on, you know, for 10 years plus of guys coming back and being part of that family.
It was interesting, and I encourage everybody to go back and listen to the podcast we did earlier this week with Hunter Renfrow and AJ Cole. It was interesting when we brought up the transfer thing to Hunter, because you could tell there was a, as you mentioned, like a deep respect for Dabo and the program he runs. But I think you could also tell he understood, like, oh, it is actually holding the team back a little bit. And the way Hunter worded it was, and I'm paraphrasing again, you can go back and listen to the exact words. He said, like, you know, stubbornness is sometimes like the thing that helps him, like his biggest strength and his biggest weakness, as it is for so many people. And I think that's a good way to describe it. Like, you know, part of the reason why Clemson had so much success was because Dabo was wildly loyal to his players and, you know, backed them up and all those sorts of things. And it created that culture that worked. But now part of the reason why, you know, a Florida State may have jumped him is because he was so wildly loyal to players and didn't, you know. I've been a player where they bring in a transfer at your position. You're like, I've been here 3 years. I've been working my tail off. Now you bring in a guy who hasn't been here, and you are kind of personally hurt by it. And he's, I guess, trying not to do that. But the flip side of it is, if there's three or four guys that can help you win a national championship, is that the loyalty you should show to the other 82 scholarship players on your team? And if I don't bring this in as some kind of self-righteous loyalty, am I actually hurting them from achieving their goals and dreams of winning a national championship?
Yeah, and I think what Dabo has had such great success is he walks into the family room of someone's house, he wins the parents over because of what you're talking about. He's loyal. He's got this family approach, and I think parents love it. So he's been able to recruit great high school kids, but now times have changed. Like, it's not that time anymore. And I that's a great point to bring up, is like, what's best for the other 80 guys? Yeah. You know, maybe unfortunately we have to cut ties with a couple, the five guys, but we're going to bring in five guys because we're Clemson. We're going to get, you know, it's hard to think.
They're not going to shop on the lower section of the transfer portal. They're going to be shopping at the top end. Yeah.
You have to think someone like Keon Coleman, who is at Michigan State, has seen the history of receivers that Clemson's put out, and I'm deciding between Florida State and maybe some others. I would think Clemson would be in that group to be able to get, you know, Tez Walker, you know, whoever. They would be able to get
somebody from Texas that remembers Cade Klubnik. Like they have, like I said, they have the fours and five stars always help. It's funny you bring up kind of Dabo walking into the room. We yesterday at ACC tip-off, one thing I do at all the like ACC kickoff events, ACC tip-off events, is I like to look – like certain people walk into the room and everybody's heads just naturally turn and go like, you know, oh, who's that? What's up with that? Dabo was one at ACC kickoff. He walked in and you could just kind of feel a murmur where – everybody at every table, doesn't matter if you're from like the Tallahassee Times or the News and Observer around here, like didn't matter who it was, you'd tap the person next to you and go, hey, Dabo just walked in. And it's a weird phenomena. And ironically, one of them at ACC kickoff for basketball was DJ Burns. DJ Burns walked in for state basketball. It's just a story for state fans that cross over their sports. He had on like super, I don't know, flashy glasses, big dude, and he walked in and everybody was kind of like, who's that, even with, you know, Hubert Davis and Kyle Filipowski in the room, was like, who the heck is that? He was just someone that was magnetic. Couldn't help but think, though, dude's playing the wrong sport. He's got the dimensions of like Calais Campbell. And he's playing basketball, and we're talking with Kevin Keats and he's talking about footwork in the post, and I'm going, hey, maybe, as a football player, would have been real nice to have that guy up front or on the interior defensive line. Just a little crossover for state fans. Again, like I said at the beginning of the pod, I'm excited to talk about actual football on the field. Feels like we've done it, haven't done it in a while, this being a bye week. But the Clemson game this weekend, we'll break it down next week. Until then, enjoy the Pack Therapy podcast.
I chose William Peace because of the personalized education it offers, which allows students to truly know their professors. It's really possible to make genuine connections with your professors and learn intentionally here and dive deep into what you're passionate about.
A 12-to-1 student to faculty ratio is just one of the many reasons students choose William Peace University. Extra attention starts day one for career planning with their Career Services Center. Find out all they have to offer at peace.edu.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.